Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater program 261 in the series. To my right in her WGN sweatshirt is the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl, what's up?
Hey, I'm doing well. And you know what? We have our special guests in the studio with us. Dan Jaffe, CEO of Oil Dry, which is the parent company of Cat's Pride, our main sponsor, and Dave Weiske, who is the vice president of customer success. What's up, guys? How are you?
Carl, Lisa, great to see you. Mike, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Mike's good. Here, too.
Yes.
It's always a treat to have you here in the studio.
I'm wearing a WGN shirt as well.
You are. What's up, Dan? How are you?
That doesn't really count.
I am doing well. I don't want to start on a doggy downer, but we did give a shout-out for Lois, and I'd like to give a shout-out for my dad. I missed last time. My dad, who actually ran Oil Dry for 35 years, and he and I worked together for 31 years. Here's an amazing thing. He was also the best man at my wedding.
Wow.
Passed away a couple weeks ago after a losing battle with cancer. So anyway, he'll be sorely missed, but I know he's listening from afar, and I just wanted to give him a shout out.
Great man.
He really, really, really was. And
you learned everything you know from
him.
That's
right.
I did.
He passed his knowledge and wisdom down.
Well, we want to thank you for both of you for being here, and we're going to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. That's happening in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to play our Cat's Pride Crack the Quote game. What is the movie, Lisa?
The movie is The Departed, and the prize for this will be two tickets to Bunny Bunny, Gilda Radner, A Sort of Love Story, which is playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right, and then a little later in this hour and throughout the show, we'll tune into Classic Radio with Michael Shane Detective, starring Jeff Chandler, then Lights Out with Arch Obler as host, and then Big Town with Edward Pauly from 1949. But right now you can call us to play the game, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll take the third caller. We'll play our game right after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Paul on the line from Woodstock. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening. It's great to hear from you. We're glad you're going to play. We've got a whole room full of people who are going to play along with you. The movie is The Departed. I'm going to give you three quotes. Only one of them is actually from the movie. Your job is to tell me which one. Either way, you are a winner tonight, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, terrific. Quote number one, illegal is always faster. Number two, don't compromise yourself. You are all you have. Number three, when I was your age, they would say you could become cops or criminals. What do you think it is, Paul?
I'm thinking it's the third one because of the basic premise of that movie and stuff. It sounds like the third one might be right.
All right. Paul's going with number three. Carl, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Paul because he sounds very smart.
He sounds like he knows
what
he's talking about.
So
we've got Dan and Dave who are going to chime in, see if they agree or don't agree with you.
I'm going with Paul. Three.
Mm-hmm.
Three?
As well, three.
Wow. Okay, number three is, when I was your age, they would say you could become cops or criminals. We're going to play the quote.
When I was your age, they would say you could become cops or criminals.
Paul, you did a great job.
Gotta love Jack. Jack's voice is awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. And Paul knew that. Paul was so happy to give you two tickets to Bunny Bunny, Gilda Radner, A Sort of Love Story. It's playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago, written by Gilda's lifelong friend and Saturday Night Live writer. It's a tribute play to Gilda Radner. I hope you enjoy the show.
I will definitely, and you probably heard my cat in the background.
Oh, I did.
Oh, great.
Terrific. We're so happy that you're a cat lover, and we're about to give away a year's supply of
you,
Cat's Pride.
You are a Cat's Pride buyer, I hope.
As well as I'm
definitely. Oh, I hear him.
Okay,
thank you.
Very good,
thank you, Paul.
Thanks, buddy. All right, well, we have Dan Jaffe and Dave Weiske here, and we're going to talk a little bit about Cat's Pride. Then we're going to give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, as Dan and Dave do every single month here. They're our main sponsor of the WGN Radio Theater, and we thank them so much. Tell us about what's happening with the new initiative.
Yeah, Litter for Good, and I'll cover the program, and then maybe Dave will give you some of the metrics. But we've been donating litter to shelters for years. I've been on the board of the Anti-Cruelty Society here in Chicago for 20 years. And it occurred to me that it's such a huge expense for shelters that I'd love to be able to do more. But I only want to do more if the cat lovers of America want me to do more. And the best way they can tell me to do that is to buy our green jug. What we did was we devised a program where every time we sell a green jug, we donate a pound to a shelter across America. And the way those donations get directed is a consumer joins the Cat's Pride Club for free at catspride.com and then nominates their local shelter. And the share of nominations that the shelters get from the total is the share of the free litter that they will participate in. So the more nominations they get, the more litter they get. And we were getting about 2 new Cat's Pride Club members a day before we started this program. We've only activated about 10% of the shelters in our database. It just takes time. But we're already up to 77 new members a day. So it's up to, you know, almost 40 times.
Yeah.
And think about that. That's 10%. So when we activate them all, we're going to be putting on almost 1,000 new Cat's Pride Club members a day who are going to be help nominating and moving this litter for us.
So what do you estimate as far as pounds that you're going to donate, let's say in 2018, because of this new initiative, and how many cats that's going to save? It actually saves lives of these cats because now they don't have to spend money on buying kitty litter. They can use that money to help that cat.
Well, we're on a pace for, call it 5 million to 5.5 million pounds at this juncture. I mean, that's the pace that we're at. And with Dan's comments with regard to the new membership, it's a snowball. So this thing could go, I mean,
and that'd be a great
well
name
over
for a cat,
million.
Snowball.
Yeah, well,
right?
I've met a couple cats named Snowball. but anyway, this is phenomenal. And, you know, I'll pass it back to Dan from Saving Cats because, you know, the alliance that we have with the Jason Debus-Heigl Foundation go into the cats that really we can save potentially in an annual basis.
I would love to, but I think you have a post.
I wanted to tell you, so many people are texting in to let you know how much they love your product. I'm going to read one great text I want to share with everyone. It's Elisa. Please tell the fellows from Cat's Pride how my entire family loves the kitty litter and thank them so for the sponsor of your fabulous show. I wait all week for Saturday and Sunday for your show, and this is how my family discovered Cat's Pride. So that's why we're here.
That's very nice.
We're not just doing this for you. We're doing this because we know not only do you have a superior product, but we know about your donation. We know about your combination with Catherine Heigl and what you do and how you're literally on the road delivering this to shelters across the country. So we thank you, and we so appreciate that our listeners like that as well.
Oh, well, wonderful. Thank you. And you know, my connection here is also a passion not just for cats, but for old-time radio.
Yeah.
As Carl knows.
Dan has always loved old-time radio.
On a country road, suspense.
That's
the
right.
The first one that ever really caught me as a kid. And after that, Inner Sanctum and Lights Out and The Shadow, I loved
it. It's a perfect marriage. We've been on the air here for 3 years, and Dan has been the main sponsor of our program, and it's one of the main reasons we are able to bring you these classic radio shows, thanks to Cat's Pride. So whenever you're in the store and you're going to buy some kitty litter, make sure you buy the green jug. It's Cat's Pride because you're helping this show, you're helping cats, and it's the best product on the market as well. So where are some of the stores, Dave, that they can pick up Cat's Pride?
Sure, from brick and mortar, Walmart. In fact, we lowered our price in a program with Walmart right now to $8.62, so go out and buy it. And that also is on all our e-com alliances with Amazon.com, Chewy.com, as well as Walmart.com, obviously. And then you've got Monopoly, which is coming up, which is exciting for Albertsons and Safeway. And we're seeing, you know, that in the jewel market as well as Safeway and Albertsons throughout the U.S. So we're really excited about that program, which is launching in March. So get out to your local brick and mortar. And if you can't get out there, order it on e-com for sure.
Very, very very good. And another great thing Dan and Dave do is they give away to one of our lucky listeners an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. And all you have to do is send a picture of your cat in and with your name and address to catspridephoto@gmail.com. That is the email address, and we get tons and tons of pictures in, and we have some for Dan to look at right now. So drum roll, please. All right. Who is the lucky winner?
The lucky winner is Leah Augustine. Her cat is Mr. Boots, and she and her cat are from Downers Grove, Illinois.
Very nice. Mr. Boots. All right. Well, Mr. Boots is going to have the best kitty litter on the planet for an entire year. And make sure you get your picture in for next month, because Dan and Dave come here at the last Sunday of every month, approximately, and we give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate all you do for this show and for cats and for people all over the world, really, because your products sell all over the world. So,
well, Carl, Lisa, Mike, and all you listeners out there, thank you very much. We really are trying to do something good for all those shelter cats, and your help is greatly appreciated.
Yeah, check out the commercials with Catherine Heigl. She is the spokesperson.
And Dan Jaffe.
That's right.
Who actually hit 475,000 hits last month. So
what?
He got that many clicks. You betcha.
Oh, my gosh.
That was
really
me. It was all me.
She has very fast fingers.
Love it.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Do we have to go to a break, or are we going right into the show? All right. We're going to go into Michael Shane Detective Jeff Chandler, who played bashful biologist Philip Boynton on Our Miss Brooks, was very good at being a great dramatic actor, too. He stars as Michael Shane. Let's go back to November 2nd, 1949. This is called The Model Murder Case. Part one now of Michael Shane, Detective.
Okay, Shane, get the picture. A guy in front of you with a .38, a guy in back with a rifle, and you with nothing. If wishing will make it so, you better start wishing to be somewhere else fast, because...
This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to Michael Shane, that reckless, red-headed Irishman back at his old haunts in New Orleans. In another transcribed episode, we call it The Case of the Model Murder.
Waiter, my compliments to the chef. This shrimp's superb.
Look, maybe I'm talking out of turn, Mr. Franklin. After all, you're hiring me, but 20 a day is mighty short wages for some of the things I get involved in, and I've learned that the phony cases usually have the biggest hospital bills.
Phony, Mr. Shane?
Yeah, I get a message that you want to see me urgently. Okay, I come dashing down here, expecting you to be tearing your hair or dying from a leaky artery, so what do I find?
You find me in a seafood bar, enjoying New Orleans' most succulent river shrimp, and sipping excellent dry Manhattans.
That's right. Then you give me a story about a girl, Marianne Chevney. I have to find her and bring her to her home by Friday midnight, or she loses $8 million.
Is that too complicated?
No, Mr. Franklin, it's too simple. Instead of giving me any details, you go on chewing your shrimp.
And sipping my Manhattans. Waiter, one more of the same. Dry. You sure you won't join me, Mr. Shane?
Look, this picture you gave me, is it the only one you have?
The most recent, yes. It was taken a few weeks before Marianne ran away from home 7 years ago.
Oh.
She never got along with her father, you see.
What about this Friday business? Why Friday after 7 years?
Simply because Friday at midnight, Marianne will be 25.
Uh-huh. So she's got to return home by then, or she doesn't get her money.
Brilliant. Wait, another order of shrimp, please.
You're sure giving me a lot of time. This is Thursday. I've got one whole day. Marianne's father was your partner, half-owner of Chevney Franklin Importers, huh?
That's right.
Chevney died over 3 weeks ago. Why the sudden concern now?
Oh, I haven't been idle. I've been running ads for the girl in the papers.
Yeah, you've been a busy little bee, you have.
Mr. Shane...
All right, what happens to the $8 million if Marianne Chevney doesn't get home in time?
It goes into the business.
But you're the business now.
That's right. Don't look so perplexed. It's quite simple, really.
Yeah, something simple. You're hiring me to find her so that you can lose $8 million.
Precisely, Mr. Shane. Waiter, another dry Manhattan.
From the minute I walked into the seafood bar at the Carlton Manor Hotel and sat down opposite Franklin of Chevney Franklin and Porter's, I knew I was walking into something with more angles and a course in advanced geometry. My first impulse after hearing his story was to tell Mr. Franklin to go peddle his shrimp. Only I suddenly remembered that the only jingle I could raise in my pockets was the sound of my car keys rattling around. It seems his partner, Chevney, had died some 3 weeks before, and $8 million he couldn't take with him was waiting for his errant daughter, Marianne, who'd run away from home 7 years ago when she was 18. I was supposed to find the girl and bring her to her late father's house before Friday midnight, tomorrow night. Well, I took another look at the photo of the girl. The words Harrison Halstead Model Agency were stamped on the back. At least she'd worked there 7 years ago. I decided to give it a whirl. The receptionist was a sugar blonde with a cooperative look in her eyes.
Well, I sure would like to help you, Mr. Shane, but I really don't know any Miss Chevney.
And you handle a lot of models here.
Oh, that's right.
This photograph help you any?
Pretty. No, I'm afraid not.
Taken 7 years ago.
I'd just bet you'd go for something a little older.
And you'd have a good bet. The boss around?
Well, yes, Mr. Shane, but I don't know.
Miss Winters, I want to... Oh. Yes, sir?
Mr. Shane's looking for a girl by the name of Chevney, Mr. Halstead.
Sorry, can't help you.
Now, this photograph...
No. What do you want with her?
Well, she's got $8 million coming to her.
Sorry, Mr. Shane.
Well, that's okay.
Miss Winters, get Miller on the phone, will you? He said he'll be ready at 2 this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
He recognized the photo.
Did he, Mr. Shane?
You're a real good kid. Company girl, loyal.
Thank you.
Follow the rules.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'm just trying to help a penniless girl get $8 million.
Well, take one of our cards, Mr. Shane. You just might want to come back.
Thanks. I don't have $8 million, but...
You don't need $8 million.
How much?
Just enough for rare steak and baked potato.
It's a deal. Miss Winters struck me as a girl with the wrong name. There's nothing chilly in her attitude. As for this Halstead character, he was one of those guys with a monogram complex. Everywhere you looked, you found H.H. staring you in the face. Harrison Halstead. On his tie, on the pocket of his shirt, even the cigarette lighter on the reception desk had the same two H's sort of leaning against one another. And the agency card Miss Winters had given me, they were there too. As I waited for the elevator, I turned the card over. The handwriting was nice and firm. Mady Carter, 2614 Mount York Avenue, might be able to help you. I thought, Shane, how would you get along without that winning personality of yours? Mady Carter's place was a little bungalow in a court. There was a light on behind curtains. I rang the bell.
Yes?
Miss Carter?
What do you want?
I'd like to talk to you.
What do you want?
I'm looking for Marianne Chevney.
I don't know anybody by that name.
Miss Winters at the Halstead Agency.
I can't, I can't. I don't know her. She isn't here.
Shh, easy. You better lower the volume. What'll the neighbors think?
Come in.
Thanks. Now look, Miss Carter, I'm not trying to do anything but find Miss Chevney so I can give her $8 million.
She doesn't want.
Well, you see, it doesn't pay to keep secrets. Where is she?
I don't know.
Well, how do you know she doesn't want the money?
She told me.
Oh, you spoke to her?
No, no. Why don't you leave me alone? I don't know anything.
Look, all I want... never mind, Miss Carter. Maybe I got a bum steer. Sorry I bothered you.
All right, that's the first portion of the model murder case starring Jeff Chandler on Michael Shane from November 2nd, 1949. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're going to go to news here, and then when we come back, it's the conclusion to Michael Shane Detective, then a little later, Lights Out. Good scary radio show then. A good newspaper drama on Big Town, starring Edward Pauly and Fran Carlin. The 1130 News is sponsored by Cars for Kids. Lisa, could you donate at least one of your Lamborghinis to Cars for Kids?
No,
that would be nice.
I was hoping they would donate a car to one of my kids. No.
you know, between the Maybach, the R8, and the four Lamborghinis,
I've got
and
four,
the Bentley.
You know what?
You
You've
can
got
donate
this backwards.
Something.
I've got four kids. They could use a car. Just
all right.
Saying.
11:31 News, Cars for Kids is the sponsor. Time for the news. Here is Roger Battish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're listening to Michael Shane Detective. This broadcast is called The Model Murder Case. It stars Jeff Chandler. Here's the conclusion.
I suppose I could have broken her down if I'd kept at it, but I suddenly found what I came for. There was an envelope face down on the desk. From where I was standing, I was able to read the return address on the flap. Big as life it was. The initials MC, apartment 5, and the address 318 East 54th Street, New York City. MC, Marion Chevney. As I drove back to town, I began to get a familiar feeling. Maybe I don't have eyes behind my head, but I do have a little spot between my shoulder blades. It's got a special talent. If somebody's following me, it begins to itch. It had bothered me a little right after I left the Halstead agency, but I didn't pay much attention to it. And right now, it was giving me the squirms in high gear, and I decided to do something about it. I pulled off the main road onto a side street, but quick. I parked, doused the lights, and waited. Cars kept going by, and I spotted a maroon job with one light dimmer than the other coming around the block for the second time. This time, it went about 100 yards past me, and then it parked. I waited. Nobody got out of the car. The spot between my shoulders stopped itching. I knew I was on solid ground. I got out of the car and started up the street. I saw the guy behind the wheel of the maroon job looking straight ahead as if he had nothing better to do than just sit there. I pulled the door open and slid into the front seat.
Huh? What's doing, champ?
Nice tail job.
No?
Pro job.
Well, you're not so bad yourself, spotting it.
New Orleans does that for me. There's a feel to the city. You must be from out of town.
Yeah.
Working?
Yeah.
Jonathan Franklin?
Never heard of him.
Franklin and Chevney importers. Bananas, I think.
I hate bananas.
Who is it?
You're doing all the talking, champ.
This is a tough town for strangers.
Not so tough.
You're not so tough either. All right, nice tie you got. Slips up nice and easy. You can't talk, champ, but you can sure listen. That's a very pretty color you're turning. Now, let's see. Yeah, shoulder holster, 45 automatic. Okay, you can breathe now, but don't overdo it. And take a tip. I don't like being followed, and strangers in town ought to be courteous.
You're a pretty tough boy, Shane.
No, no, I'm the easygoingest guy in the world. I just don't like being tailed. Remember, mind your manners when you're in a strange city, champ. Franklin was in the dining room of the hotel carving up some rare roast beef with Yorkshire pudding on the side. I dropped into a chair on the other side of his table and told him what I'd found out. As usual, he got real interested.
New York, eh? Will you join me, Mr. Shane?
You're real worried about getting Marianne Chevney back here before tomorrow night, aren't you?
Oh, you can't rush things, my boy.
Ah, this case smells clear across the river. Don't you trust me, Mr. Franklin?
One moment, Mr. Shane. Wait up.
Yes, sir?
Bring me a phone, please. You were saying...
I said somebody's been tailing me. I'd like to know why.
You're implying, Mr. Shane, that because I don't trust you, I've hired someone to watch you?
In a nutshell.
And that is not true. But the fact that someone is following you is very disconcerting.
Your telephone, Mr. Franklin?
Oh, thank you, waiter. You pardon me, Mr. Shane. Travel desk, please. Hello? This is Jonathan Franklin speaking. Will you arrange for a charter plane with the New Orleans Charter Service, please? In the name of Michael Shane. In about an hour, it's now 8:30. The plane is to go to New York and leave here at 9:30. Thank you.
Well, you're full of surprises, Mr. Franklin.
I've got another one for you.
Yeah?
If you succeed in bringing Marianne back here before midnight tomorrow, there's $1,000 bonus for you.
Sometimes, Mr. Franklin, your conversation is positively brilliant. A chartered plane to New York and $1,000 jackpot at the end of the rainbow. I felt like a captain of industry as the plane got the right of way from the airport tower and circled in for a landing. New York, great little city. It was 4 o'clock in the morning when the taxi pulled up in front of 518 East 54th Street. I told the cabbie to wait. What's money to me? Took the stairs of the brownstone two at a time. Apartment 5 was at the end of the hall on the first floor. I knocked. Nothing happened. I knocked again. Nobody could sleep like that. Then I tried the door. Locked. Apparently, Marianne was a dirty stay out late. Across the hall, the door to apartment number 4 said manager. I walked over and started knocking again.
Well, what is it? What is it?
I'm sorry to get you out of bed, old time, but I'd like you to open the door to apartment 5.
Are you crazy waking a body at 4 in the morning?
Look, I'm a private detective. I'm looking for the girl who has that apartment. I want to get in, so I'll be there when she gets home.
Private detective? I'm sorry. If you was a police, it'd be...
Does this give me the necessary rank?
$5.
All right, make it 10.
Well, why don't you tell me he was a private detective in the first place? Come on. Hey, light switch in there.
Yeah.
Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks. Here's your pound of flesh.
Now, you won't tell her that I let you...
What's the matter with you?
Hey, over there. On the floor in the hall.
First, I saw a lot of blonde hair. And then I saw there was a girl attached to it. She probably would have been real pretty without that bullet hole in her forehead. A glutton by the name of Jonathan Franklin had waved an ice-cold scent in front of my nose, but strangely enough, it still had a strong odor. My assignment was to find Marianne Chevney and get her back to her late dad's home so she could collect $8 million, according to the terms of her inheritance. Well, I picked up the trail at the Harrison Halstead Model Agency, where Miss Chevney had once worked. Mr. H.H. and his secretary, Miss Winters, acted like I was after atomic secrets. And as I left, Miss Winters shoved a card in my hand with the name and address of Mady Carter. Miss Carter had the willies bad, but I picked up the information that the girl I was looking for was in New York. Franklin stopped eating roast beef long enough to charter a plane for me. And I arrived at the end of the trail just in time to find my quarry still warm, but with a bullet in her head.
Oh, my police. We'll have to call the police.
Yeah, but not before I make a phone call long distance.
Well, you won't be long now, will you? Son, because they get real mad. If you don't tell...
Long distance, I want you to get me Mr. Jonathan Franklin at the Carlton Manor in New Orleans. Michael Shane at this end. That's right. This is Circle 65970.
Yeah, my reputation. You know this will be in the papers, don't you? Be police all over the place and reporters.
Yeah, and her blood stains a nice carpet, too. So I feel real sorry for you. Yes. Hello?
Well, don't be long.
Hello, Mr. Franklin.
Yes. Yes, what is it, please?
Well, take your earmuffs off. You might like to hear this.
What is it, Shane?
Just a second, Mr. Franklin. Look, old timer, don't you have a telephone in your own apartment?
Yes. Well, I never thought of that.
Well, think of it.
Well, Shane?
The gal is dead.
Really?
Yeah, what do you want me to do?
Come on home. You've done a good job.
You're not sorry?
No. Should I be?
What about the $1,000 bonus? I guess that's cold turkey, huh?
We'll talk about it when you get back.
Yeah.
Cold turkey, did you say?
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned it. It's an excellent thought. With a glass of cold milk, of course. Goodbye, Mr. Shane.
I had a little time before the cops had come, so I started moseying around the apartment. First thing that caught my eye was a cigarette lighter on an end table. It looked familiar. Very familiar. All of a sudden, I knew why. There was a monogram on it. Yeah, two H's sort of leaning against each other. I got the long-distance operator again and put in a call to Mr. Halstead, also collect.
There is no answer.
Are you sure you got the right guy?
Harrison Halstead's residence in New Orleans, Orange 24.
Thanks, operator.
Shall I try later?
I didn't know how, but it was pretty obvious that Halstead was in this thing up to his ears. I kept on wandering around the living room, and then I found it. There was a letter on the table in a girl's handwriting. The date was just 2 days ago, and the letter started with the words, Dear Matey. I didn't have to read the signature to know it was Marianne. I took a good look at the girl on the floor. Her hair was blonde, only there was about a 1/16 of an inch of dark brunette showing at the hairline. I got real smart then. I finally figured it out. This girl was Matey Carter, and the frightened girl back in New Orleans was really Marianne Chevney. Only somebody else had apparently made the same mistake, and it was my guess he was hightailing it back to New Orleans to correct his error. I made a quick call to homicide to pay my respects and then headed for the airport. Luckily, the plane was ready to go when I got there. Oh, Shane, you had the girl in your hands and then you waltzed off with a dream. One thing was clear. Marianne Chevney had plenty to worry about. It took me just 10 minutes from the time I landed back in New Orleans to get to her place. The door to Marianne's bungalow was locked and there was no answer to my banging. I started around the house trying to get a look-see inside. Nothing. Nobody home. When I got around to the rear and peeked in the bedroom, I saw why. The place was empty. Either she'd decided to run or else she'd been taken on a trip without a return ticket. I scrambled over to Carlton Manor, and guess what? Yeah, Jonathan Franklin was eating.
It seems you made a mistake, Mr. Shane.
How do you know?
The papers. Wasn't Marianne who was killed in New York? It was a girl by the name of Carter, Madeline Carter.
You still want me to find Marianne?
Oh, of course. Let's see. Three now. You only have 9 hours left. Would you have some lunch?
No, thanks.
Don't you ever find time to eat?
Yeah, but I'm peculiar. I only eat 3 meals a day. Marianne Chevney's life was in danger, and I wanted to get to her while she was still hale and hearty. I drove over to Halstead's agency. Miss Winters still had that cooperative look.
Well, hi there.
Hi, where's your boss?
Out.
Been in today?
Well, I know. As a matter of fact, he hadn't.
Did you try to reach him at home?
Yes, I did.
He wasn't there.
Oh, is something wrong?
Something's very wrong, sweetheart. Look, that note you slipped me last night.
Not the kind I usually write.
Matey Carter, you knew I was looking for Marianne Chevney.
Well, I said Matey Carter might be a help. She's a friend of Miss Chevney's.
You didn't know there was a switch?
Switch?
Matey Carter was in New York. She was killed last night.
Killed?
Halstead could have taken a plane up there last night, couldn't he?
Well, I don't know.
As far as you know, he could have, couldn't he?
Well, yes. I haven't spoken to him since last night.
Tell me, is he a bachelor?
Yeah.
Lives alone?
Uh-huh.
In town or in the country?
Both.
Oh, he has a country place. Where?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute. You want me to look it up?
You bet I do, sweetheart. If I'm not too late, it might make the difference between a long and wealthy life or a 45 slug to Marianne Chevney. It took me almost an hour to drive out to where Halstead had his beach home. The place had a real subtropical flavor, bordering on the Gulf and surrounded by a mass of lush undergrowth and stubby cypress trees. I didn't bother to announce myself. I just barged in. She'd been here, all right. There was a woman's jacket over a chair in the big paneled living room, and her purse half open on the floor. I went to the back door and opened it and looked out. Bounced off a stone, and I caught a glint of the bullet as it whined off on its ricochet. It had come from the left. I ducked back into the house. He had shells to burn, whoever he was. There was no sense my perching like a sitting duck, so I started toward the front. The living room had been empty a moment before, but now there was a man in it, a man with a gun. Halstead.
Stop where you are, Mr. Shane, and raise your hands.
Where's Marianne?
It's none of your business. I said raise your hands.
Now look, Halstead, don't be coy about this thing. There's a guy out there with a gun, a big gun, and he's got big ideas.
So have I. Move back, against the wall.
Look, who's working for who around
You've
here?
You've been sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong, Shane. I told you yesterday if there was anything about Marianne Chevney you ought to concern yourself with.
What did you do with her?
Let's just say she's in protective custody.
Yours?
As I said, that's none of your business.
What? Hello, champ. What's doing?
Still tailing me, huh?
Yeah. And this time, no necktie.
Very bad taste.
Huh?
Drop that rifle.
I don't think so. You ought to practice more, you mess.
Oh, this is real cute. Champ is in the kitchen with a rifle, and you're in here with a pistol, Halstead. You both have a grudge against me, only you can't stop worrying about each other.
Shane, who is that man in the kitchen?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet, but I think he's after Marianne, too. Aren't you, champ?
Could be. But right now, I get more places. Missed again.
Just stick your head in that doorway once more. Now, Mr. Shane, I'll give you just 3 seconds to tell me what you want.
I told you.
I want the truth, now.
What difference does it make what I want with the girl if you're already...
All right, Shane, I warned you.
It was a second or two before I realized Halstead had fired at the laddie with the rifle, not me. But I wasn't inclined to administer first aid to Champ lying in the kitchen doorway because from the look on Halstead's face, he was getting ready for a repeat performance. And then I got a shock. Like when the shower suddenly turns from hot to cold. Marianne, the real Marianne, stepped into the room and went over to Halstead. I figured it was time to call a halt and settle who was who. Hello, Marianne.
You killed Matey.
No, the champ in the kitchen, that was his work.
Why don't you leave me alone, all of you?
All I've been trying to do is bring you back to your father's home by midnight tonight so you can inherit the $8 million he left you.
Marianne and I were married last night, Shane.
What?
So now the matter of her inheritance is my business. So So why don't you leave us alone?
I will if Marianne or Mrs. Halstead will go back to her father's house.
But why, Mr. Shane? Why should I go back there?
Well, if the $8 million doesn't mean anything to you, the $1,000 I stand to collect means plenty to me. I knew it was the right time. 6 o'clock, when I walked into the dining room of the Carlton Manor. Jonathan Franklin was having breast of guinea hen under glass and a white wine.
Well, won't you sit down? I'll have the waiter get you.
No, thanks.
Yeah. You look calm and relaxed, Mr. Shane. Success.
Yes.
Splendid. And Mary Ann?
I found her. And her husband.
Her husband?
That's right. Oh, your boy is down at headquarters, Mr. Franklin.
Headquarters? My boy?
Yes, the champ. He talked when he came to. He got a little overeager after he trailed me to Halstead's beach house, and Halstead winged him.
Oh.
The way I figured, it wasn't a question of Mary Ann getting back to her father's home before her 25th birthday.
No. This wine is delicious. 1929 Sauternes.
No, it was a question of whether or not she'd reach her 25th birthday. And that's why you had me searching for her, to find her so you could have her killed before she did.
Now, you're not going to spoil my dinner.
You know, there's an old saying, Mr. Franklin, the foolish person eats himself into the grave.
You say he talked?
Yes. He told us why he'd been following me. So that if I found Marianne, he could kill her. He told us how he was sent to New York before I left. Oh, I should have guessed that, Mr. Franklin. It only takes 10 minutes to get to the airport from here. Why make the charter for an hour later?
You have a point.
And there was only one person besides myself and Marianne who knew the address of Mady Carter in New York.
Yeah. I should have thought of that, I suppose.
You finished with your dinner, Mr. Franklin? Because if you are, there are some men waiting for you in the lobby. Homicide detail.
You're spoiling my digestion, Mr. Shane.
Doesn't matter, Mr. Franklin. From now on, you'll be eating crow. Hearty appetite.
Mike, what I can't understand is why Mr. Franklin was so eager to get his partner's money. He must have made the same amount himself. After all, $8 million.
That's enough bait for anybody, sweetheart. With his appetite, maybe he needs $16 million to keep in groceries, especially with prices the way they are today.
Oh, Mike, sugar, you're cute.
Now, on, eat your steak. And will you have red wine served with it?
Waiter, a sparkling burgundy, domestic. Year of 1948.
There you have it. That is the New Adventures of Michael Shane with the Case of the Model Murder, starring Jeff Chandler, also in the cast there, was Jack Webb. And Hans Condry, a good episode from 1948. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. I want to remind all of our listeners about our surprise boxes, because they are going fast. And listeners will be able to order a surprise box of classic radio shows on CD, brand new shows, $150 worth of product for only $39.99. And then if you like classic movies and classic TV shows, you can get DVDs of all your favorite classic television shows. Again, only $39.99 for $150 or more. And then if you're a Twilight Zone fan, we also have a surprise box for Twilight Zone radio dramas. Again, $150 worth for only $39.99. How do you learn all about the surprise boxes? Just go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com. There's a pop-up there, talks all about it. And when you are at our website, be sure to scroll down and see our banner for our free app. We have an app for old-time radio fans. It's absolutely free. You can just press the Google button or the Apple button, and you can download it to your phone, your iPhone or your Android phone, and it is free. And on there are 10 classic radio shows for you.
Do you have it on your phone, Carl?
No.
I didn't think so. Just wondering. I could do it for you.
I don't have any apps. I don't know my Apple ID.
I could put it on there for you.
But I don't know my Apple ID, so you wouldn't be able to.
That's a problem.
I have to figure out what that is. My daughter, Rachel, knows what it is.
Right. We're going to have to help her.
She can download it, too. She knows how to do that.
I bet she does.
So are you going to miss me next week? Because I'm not going
to
be here.
I wanted to remind everybody that next Saturday and next Sunday, Carl's away on a little business trip. Dave Plyer and I are going to co-host the show together on Saturday and Sunday. So we already have put our heads together, and we are making a terrific show for everybody next weekend. I think we won't skip a beat. We're going to play, you know, of course, six classic radio shows like we always do. We'll have Crack the Quote. We'll have some great fun talking, and Roger will be with us, and Shantae will be back.
Yeah, but
next
are you going to have my corny jokes with my rim shot?
No, I don't think so, but maybe we'll have some other jokes. You just
never know.
Nobody's
going to miss your corny jokes.
See that? I didn't say that. I was just intimating that. But we'll have other jokes. Dave Plyer will have his own version of jokes, and
I'm
going to
text
in,
and I'm going to be like, I'm going to text him. I'm going to say, bring that Carl Amari guy back.
Well, I will know your number, and I'm not going to reply to
you. I'm going to use other phones. I'm going to borrow people's phones.
I'm not going to reply.
Can I just text somebody from your phone?
I'm going to know it's you no matter what you say.
Carl Amari, what happened to him? Bring him back.
Well, we will miss you. It's only 1 week. Do what you need to do. Come back to us. In the meantime, we are really thrilled to have Dave Plyer take your place only for 1 week. He won't be Carl, but
Dave, do me
he
a favor if you're
great.
Listening. Don't be too good.
Right.
Don't be too good.
Right. And you will, you know, make sure it goes without a hitch.
Be adequate, but don't be too
adequate
good.
Adequate is good enough. I'll let him know you said that.
All right.
Yeah, Dave and I talked about it last night.
Yeah, I don't want a stellar replacement.
Maybe Dave and I will have a great rapport, and who knows what will happen.
Worry not your little head there.
Speaking of poor Roma wines.
I said rapport.
She's into pouring, all right, the Roma wines.
Rapport.
You should see how many empty bottles of Roma wines she has in her.
Can you spell rapport, Carl?
R. Starts with an R.
It does. And what does it end with?
E.
So close, but no.
Poor. There's no E at the end of rapport?
Nope. Right. Nope, so
it's one of those tricky words to spell.
I always give you the tricky ones, Carl.
All right. It is, it's midnight, which means it's Monday morning, which means I only have 2 more hours of the WGN Radio Theater to last me.
I know, we're going to miss you.
In two weeks.
You know what? You'll come back fresh and new and excited to do the show
again. You
know
what, Carl? Right. When you come back, it's going to be a whole brand new month for you.
That's true.
It'll be
March.
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
You can turn over a new leaf.
That's right.
And you know what? The good thing is it'll almost be spring.
Yes.
Yep.
You know,
it'll almost be
like 20-something days to spring.
Yes.
We'll need you next week, Roger.
It's going to be great.
No time off for you.
No.
All right. So this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. Thanks, Roger. Thanks, Esmeralda. It is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. Happy Monday morning, everyone. Thanks for staying up late with us. We have a very scary radio drama coming your way. You know, when you talk about the scariest of the scary radio shows, Lights Out would be at the top of the list. There's also Inner Sanctum Mysteries, Murder at Midnight. But really, Lights Out was the most horrific of the radio shows. So if you are faint of heart, if you're squeamish,
this is the worst show for you.
You probably want to phone a friend at this point.
We are going to turn the lights down for this one, and we're going to get the full effect. So if you're watching us on WGNRadio.com and you're watching us live, you can see us. We're going to turn down the lights and really take this one in.
Right. And pull the covers up close
if you're in bed.
No, I'm saying at home.
and listen
to this creepy radio show. That's coming your way in just a few minutes. But it's time right now to play our game, Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What is the movie, Lisa?
The movie is Memento.
Memento.
Yes.
Oh.
All right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So call us now, 312-981-7200. We'll take the fifth caller, 50. A Hawaii 50, that's 50. 05.
Oh, you said the fifth caller, 50.
I meant 05.
You mean zero, actually.
05.
There you go.
Yeah, zero. O?
O is a letter.
Well,
zero is a number.
This is true. Okay. 0-5.
Miss Technical.
Just helping you
what
out.
What do they win, Miss Technical?
They are going to win two tickets to see Bunny, Gilda Radner, sort of love story at Mercury Theater Chicago.
Yeah, all right. So call us now, 05-312-981-7200 is our number. We'll play the game after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote. Brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Jim on the line. Hi, Jim.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
So glad to hear from you. The movie is Memento. Are you familiar with the movie?
Yes.
Good. Well, even if you aren't, either way, it's all good. I've got three quotes. One of them is actually from Memento. The other two are not. Your job is to tell me which one is, and we'll see if Carl agrees with you, okay? Either way, you are a winner.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Quote number one. Since my injury, I can't make new memories. Everything fades. Number two. Memories warm you up, but also tear you apart. Number three. The past beats inside me like a second heart.
Number two.
Memories warm you up, but also tear you apart.
I'm going to say three.
All right. The past beats inside me like a second heart. Curtis, help us out.
Since my injury, I can't make any memories.
That was number one.
That was number one. You guys were so close.
Both missed it, Jim.
You both missed it, but you were both so close.
But
so
Jim was closer because he picked two.
Right. So it was so close, we're going to call it a win. So let's go with that. You've won two tickets to Bunny. Gilda Radner, A Sort of Love Story. It's playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago. It is a great show. It's written by a Saturday Night Live friend, and it's a tribute play that celebrates her legacy. So congratulations, and I hope that you enjoy the show, and thank you for playing with us.
Fantastic.
Take care, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you. All right. You know what, Lisa? I stink at this game.
I know.
Gosh.
But, you know, I don't make it easy for you.
Yeah.
So I do have
fun writing the other ones
purposely so that it's...
She's tricky.
I am tricky.
You're like a female Nixon. He was tricky, too.
No, but I'm fair and I'm honest. I'm not tricky-dicky.
No, you do a great job on this because it's tough. I mean, really tough.
I know. That's the point. I mean, if it's too easy, it's no fun.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. So the text in line, folks, because we love getting your text, is 312-981-7200. Text us in and be ready now because we have a scary radio show for you.
I just have to say I got a great text just now. Somebody listening from San Diego, and it's the cutest little boy who's listening. He lost a tooth in the front. So thank you for sending me. I do love all your texts and photos.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
And I got a great text about somebody pouring some wine for me. And they said, we always sound so cheerful. Do we have a glass before the show?
No,
and
she has four glasses.
The answer is absolutely not, just so we're clear.
Nah, Lisa doesn't drink. She doesn't drink. She doesn't smoke.
That's the thing. It's just sort of a joke, the Roma wine thing. I actually don't drink at all. I drink no alcohol.
Want to hear something interesting? My whole life, never drank. Never. Never smoked cigarettes. Never did any drugs of any kind. My entire life, right? I mean, seriously. I mean, I barely take an aspirin when I have a headache. I just don't believe in drugs or alcohol or any of that kind of stuff. Just me personally. I mean, that's just who I am. But lately, I have been buying these little bottles of wine. Okay, they're tiny. They're like one.
Yeah,
they're not even
like the kind you buy in an airplane. Like,
yeah,
this?
Yeah. Okay. And you know what I do? Like once a week, if I make myself some pasta, you know, if I make myself a little, I use the Giannotti's sauce. I buy it at Jewel because Giannotti's sauce is the best.
No, I buy Rao's sauce.
Well,
okay. That's the best
one. I am Italian.
I know. I'm telling you, that's my
very
favorite
sauce. You are not Italian. I am Italian.
Okay, just text us if you know either the Giannotti's
or Rao's. Giannotti's is the best.
Rao's is the best.
Just so we're clear. Stop right there.
Just so we're clear. Okay?
And I take the Giannotti's sauce. I'm able to do this. I'm able to do this all on my own. I boil water for the pasta.
Gotcha.
Put a little salt in there. And then I make the pasta, warm the pasta up, and I put a little mozzarella cheese on there. I don't know why I do
it. I go with Parmesan, but okay.
And then I mix it up, and I have a little bottle of wine. I usually don't drink the whole thing.
Did you get drunk?
No, but it's great with a little, and I'll just sit back and watch a little TV. It'll be like my treat once a week to myself.
One day I'm going to invite you over and make it with Rao's.
No.
And have you taste
Giannotti's
it.
Giannotti's okay? Only. I only like Giannotti's sauce.
I only like Rao's.
All right, it's time for Lights Out. Are you ready for a scary radio
Let's
show?
Do it.
You know, this program started right here in Chicago. It was a 15-minute midnight serial that caught the attention of the listeners at the witching hour right here on WENR in Chicago, an NBC affiliate. And then it was expanded to 30 minutes in 1934, went national in 1935. These are really grisly stories spiked with dark and cheek, dark tongue-in-cheek humor, and it was the most horrific show on radio. The creator of the series, Willis Cooper, left for Hollywood in 1936, and they brought in Arch Obler to be the writer-host, and that's who wrote and hosted this particular episode called Sakhalin, S-A-K-H-A-L-I-N. This aired August 10th, 1943, sponsored by IY, Ironized Yeast. Let's tune this in, part one of Lights Out.
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out. Everybody. Is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. Some people seem to have the idea that cruelty between human beings is an invention brought on with the machine age. Tonight's play, however, goes back to another day and another machineless time, when man's inhumanity to man was quite the same. But first, Frank Martin for Ironized Yeast.
Do you keep watching the clock because you're so run down and jittery, so often overtired that it seems the day will never end? If that's how you feel, and if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is what's to blame, for your own sake, try Ironized Yeast Tablets. These pleasant little tablets give you vitamin B1 plus iron. They've been of splendid benefit to men and women who were deficient in these vital substances. Help them regain glorious strength, energy, and needed pounds, often in just a few short weeks. That's right. The name is Ironized Yeast Tablets. And now, Lights Out, everybody. The time, Russia, and the time of the Tsars. The place, the dread, cold, bleak island of Sakhalin off the coast of Siberia, where the imperial ruler sent political prisoners to a living death.
Come in, Sergeant. Stop that noise. Come in.
Your Highness?
Yes, yes. Why do you stand there? What is it? Speak up, you empty head.
Your Highness, the prisoners are ready. They are in the courtyard.
Oh, yes, yes, the prisoners. I've been looking forward to this. Quickly, a gun.
They are here at the window, Your Excellency.
Ah, yes, so they are. Ah, loaded and ready, Yakov. You're becoming quite efficient.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
Three little pigeons, their faces to the wall, awaking the will of God. Only in this instance, my benediction is a lead bullet. Well, open the window and we'll...
Vinnikov, what are you doing?
Marina, as usual, my dear, you are just in time. The sport is just about to begin.
Sport? What is it?
Come to the window.
Yes.
You see them there, faces to the wall.
Well?
The human head is a much more interesting target than a bit of paper tacked against the wall, eh, little Marina?
Oh, but what have they done?
Does that matter? Poor men. They're constantly getting into trouble.
It must be wonderful.
What?
To know that you hold the lives of 2,000 men in your hand. To know that whenever you will it, you can crush the hand into a fist.
Yakov, the window.
Yes, Your Excellency.
You hear, Marina? Mercy.
Yes.
I'll give them mercy. See, a perfect shot.
Oh, you do not try to kill them at once, Erenico.
Go and ruin the spot. A shot here, a shot there. is most amusing.
Let me try with a short, fat one.
You? All right, why not?
I never knew there could be such sport on this accursed place.
A man of cleverness can always find sport, even in a frozen hell. Well, shoot. Achlino, Achlino. Look at him flop around like a wounded duck.
A very fat duck.
Ah, what a pair we make, Marina. Quickly, give me the gun. There is yet another. I'll get another gun. We will shoot together. Such sport. I told you you would have an enjoyable time on Sahagin, my little Marina. I told
you
that...
Your Excellency, the jousting, Your Excellency.
Well, what is it? Can't you say I'm busy? What do you want?
If Your Excellency please, a message, an official one from St. Petersburg.
Well, give it to me, you fool. Give it to me.
Yes, Your Excellency.
What is it? What?
Oh, Yakov, shut the window.
Yes, Excellency.
I must decide. Short was me, the meddling fools, the bureaucratic fools. I could kill them. I could kill them all. Why must they meddle? Why won't they leave me alone? Inspectors, inspectors.
Klinkov, control yourself. What is it? What have they ordered you to do? You must tell me quickly. What is the news?
Worst news. The government is sending another one of their infernal inspectors. Oh. For 2 years, they've let me alone. For 2 years. And now another one of those fool inspectors. You must not get here.
But, Trenikov, what is the difference? While he is here, all can be peaceful and quiet. A kindergarten full of the satisfied little children.
It is not what I do to the prisoners that concerns them. It is my accounts.
Your accounts?
Marina, listen to me. I told you that in 2 more years I could retire, you with me, to a life befitting a gentleman.
Yes?
Where do you think the money comes from? I will tell you. From the coal mines near Onor, from the salt mines on the northern end of this island, from the gold in the streams. Oh. I quickly discovered when they sent me here that a clever man could make a good thing out of the enforced labor of these miserable prisoners. And I have made a good thing. 2 more years. But now this infernal inspector. He will make his report. Investigation. I'll be ruined. Marina Petrovna, that man must not get here. He must not get here.
You will find a way.
Will I? Yakov, come here. You thick-headed fool, must I yell my lungs out? Come closer. Come closer.
Your Excellency?
You were drunk again last night.
Drunk? No, Your Excellency.
Close your mouth.
No.
I've had enough of your drunkenness. Perhaps 100 lashes with the whips will teach you a lesson. The brave sergeant's face grows green with fright.
It is death, Your Excellency.
Mm, you know that only too well, eh, Yakov? They have died under your whip with fewer than 50.
Your mercy, Excellency. I will do anything you want.
You
anything.
Are a good
mercy,
swimmer.
All highest. Mercy, mercy, Excellency.
Stop your sniveling and mercy, listen to me closely. There's a certain man destined to arrive in Nikolayeva within 2 weeks. He'll be in charge of the boat, which is to bring him across the 30 miles of very treacherous water, which very fortunately separates us from the mainland. If during this most dangerous trip there should be a little accident. Well, Marina?
You are very clever, Renikov.
Honored one.
Well, Sergeant, very thoughtful of Commandant Trenikov, I must say, sending an entire squad of soldiers to give me safe conduct. But I doubt if all the Tsar's armies could calm the waters between us and Sakhalin. Now, could they?
The passage is always very rough, Your Excellency.
Tell me, how many miles across?
30, Your Excellency. Commandant Trenikov has made your safe arrival my personal responsibility.
Well, the wind is getting stronger, if anything. That's a mighty small launch for so much angry water, Sergeant.
I have made the crossing hundreds of times, Your Excellency. There is no danger.
How much further, Sergeant?
Only 5 miles.
5 miles too many, as far as I'm concerned. We certainly would be in a situation if the engine stopped.
If you will excuse me, Your Excellency, I will make sure everything is in order.
Of course, of course. Under the sound of it, that engine needs attention. Go ahead.
Спасибо, спасибо.
Thank you.
What about the engine? What happened?
Broken down completely. Your Excellency, we're at your mercy.
Some javelin, you fool. Tell the helmsman to keep the boat headed into the wind. Don't stand there like an empty-headed fool. Go, do something.
No, Your Excellency, it is no use. We are lost. The propeller shaft broke down in the bulkhead. We are sinking.
Come on, the lifeboats. Order your men to them, quickly.
Yes, Your Excellency. To the lifeboats. Men, to the boats.
Cut the rope, you fool. Cut the rope.
To the boats.
Divide up your men, Sergeant. Three in this boat, three in the other.
Ivan, Yashin, Sorin in this boat. Bring the axes. Cut the ropes. That rope there. Get that one.
There she goes.
Jump, everyone. Jump.
Sergeant, you get the rudder. Come on, men. Give me a hand with these oars. Pull, men. Pull away from the launch, or we'll pull us down with it. Pull. Pull.
That's it, men. That's it. We're safe enough.
Wait, Sergeant, what are you doing? Keep us out of the trough of that wave. It'll swamp us. Sergeant, swing the rudder. We'll drown. Sergeant, don't!
Does the launch sink? The devil's fog comes rolling. Infernal telescope. We can see nothing.
Your Excellency. Your Excellency.
Sergeant, how did you...
Your Excellency, I have come to report.
Your clothes, dripping wet. You did not drown.
I am the best swimmer on the island, Your Excellency.
You're tired. Yes. Sit here.
No, Your Excellency, the chair, my wet
clothes. Sit down.
Yes, Your Excellency.
Now then, tell me, what happened to everything?
Yes, Your Excellency, I did just as you ordered.
The infernal inspector of the guards, Michael Bashev, you saw him drown.
With my own eyes, they all drowned, only I lived.
Michael Bashev is dead.
With my own eyes, I saw it.
So?
I thought I would never make it. The waves were so strong, never stronger.
Ah, but it was worth it, Sergeant. Now you should be rewarded. Yes, you bought it.
You are very kind, Your Excellency.
My kindness has exceeded only my good nature. This straw always sticking. Yes, here it is. Your reward, my dear son.
Anything you give me, Your Excellency?
Anything? You will like your reward, Sergeant. Why don't you say something, eh? Speak up. What a pity the bullet hit you in your ugly mouth, Sergeant. Yes. Yakov, the Sergeant. To him I entrusted the safe delivery of the Tsar's representative, the Honorable Michael Bashev, to my presence. Michael Bashev, dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a deep breath or two and a moment of relaxation.
All right. Oh, good. I need a moment or two for some relaxation, Lisa.
Yeah, you're really on edge here.
As the first portion of Lights Out with Sakhalin, we'll have more of that in just a few minutes. All right. When we come back from the news, it's the conclusion of Lights Out, then a good newspaper drama on Big Town. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Time for WGN News at 12:30. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Esmeralda. Thank you, Roger. It is 12:35 in the morning here on the greatest radio station in the world, WGN. We are in the Showcase studio. And you know what, Lisa? I think we're past the worst of the winter weather. I think we're going to be kind of smooth sailing. I feel good about it.
Well, what I was going to say was we're only in the Showcase studio for a little while longer until we make our move.
Moving over.
We're moving on
up. Moving somewhere. I don't know where, but wherever it is. Well, it's either north, west, south, or east of us.
We're going north just a few blocks to Wacker. What is it, 303 East Wacker?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's the address. It's in my brain. 303 is Wacker. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump over. I used to work on Wacker, so I worked right in the building next door there.
Someone hired you?
Yeah, they did. They did. but I am no longer there.
What does that say about me? I said, someone hired you?
That you didn't hire me?
I know. I didn't hire you. We just kind of found each other.
That's true.
Gosh.
You weren't looking.
No.
I just someday we'll tell the
story
again.
We've told the story of how we started working together.
Yeah. I think I made it happen because this is what I really wanted to do. And so I made myself very useful.
Lisa wanted to be a DJ.
Well, I don't know about a
talk
DJ
show host.
Exactly. But,
she wanted to be a talk show host. She used to call radio stations as a kid.
I have an affinity toward radio stations. And so I kind of made it happen, I will say.
She likes the idea of speaking into a microphone and people hear it.
She likes to be heard.
Right?
I don't know.
I mean, what is, it's
been
magical.
Doing that
it really
since
is kind of.
I was a child.
Let me just tell you, radio is a magical thing. It really is.
I've always done theater
because,
and I've always appreciated the interaction of the live stage and that magic and that relationship with the audience that you feel when you're on a live stage. And I feel that same
it's a little
magic
bit like
here.
That. Yeah,
it
because when you're
similar.
On the stage, a lot of times you really can't see the audience because it's in the dark. So we can't see our audience.
But we know they're there. I think it's the quality of it being live.
I'm talking to you right now.
No, but it's the quality of it being live,
you,
Carl.
You listener.
He's not listening.
I know
I'm
that
saying.
You are there.
Because anything.
I can't see you.
He's not listening.
But I know you're there.
What are
Remember,
you talking
like,
about?
Remember Romper Room? Remember
yes,
they would
I
be like,
Lisa,
I see Lisa,
I see Carl.
Yeah.
But anything
Curtis
can happen.
Curtis is like, what's Romper Room?
Romper Room. Anything can happen. You
no,
think
I,
on your feet.
I'm just picturing somebody at their house right now. Carl's talking to me right now?
I am talking to you.
Yes, he is. He's got a magic mirror.
I'm talking to you.
He's, I don't know what he's talking about. He's off on a tangent.
Here, I'm talking to Fred. Fred, are you out there? Fred, I'm talking to you.
Oh, gosh.
And Ginger, I'm talking to you right
Ginger.
Now,
Ginger?
Yeah, there's a Ginger. There's a Ginger
yeah,
out there
if you're
listening.
On Gilligan's Island, there's a Ginger. I don't know anywhere else, but okay.
Oh, wait, hang on with you right now. Betty? Hello,
there,
Betty.
There is a Betty.
Betty, I am talking to you. And how about... Anne. Hey, Anne. A-N-N-E. I'm talking to you right now. So this is like a thing for you. You were like, I like radio.
I love radio.
It's intimate.
You know what?
You can talk to the listener.
I would not be here. Of course, we were on another station for what, like 9 years already?
Yeah.
And in 3 years here, I would not be doing this if I did not love it.
Yeah.
So I hope that comes across.
Lisa does love it. I've always said Lisa has a smile in her voice.
I do. I'm happy.
When you hear Lisa's voice, it sounds like she's smiling, doesn't it?
It is. And you know what's also true? Her laugh is contagious.
Yeah.
I'm happy here. I really am. I
she's
hope that
contagious.
Works here. Forever, and we're going to head toward Classic Radio 24/7 here on WGN.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. When Lisa started, she first auditioned for a Twilight Zone radio drama, and then I just thought, wow, what a great person.
Yeah.
What a nice person. She's genuine and really nice, and she really is how she sounds. She's such a nice person.
Well, I called you on the way because I did get lost.
Yeah, she got lost. But here's the
but
thing.
That's,
when she,
that sounds like me.
Then
I
when I would listen
lost.
To her... You know, on radio and stuff, I was like, her voice has like a smile in it. It's great for radio.
Well, it's a genuine happiness. So I hope that comes across.
And then we had a producer one time told her, you know, don't smile when you're talking on the radio.
He told her.
Don't. You sound like you're smiling when you're talking on the radio. What a dingleberry that guy was.
I went to school to be, in radio, and that. Everybody said, have like a picture of somebody in front of you. Like if you're talking to that person and talk like with a smile.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah.
I have a picture of Jennifer Aniston.
And I get to talk to Carl. So that's all I need.
All right. Let's get back to Lights Out.
And now back to our Lights Out story of Sakhalin.
Arenikov, you are so clever. Oh,
red lips.
Oh, you are so strong.
You will like me all of you.
Why should I?
Because I have the strength you want.
Now there is no one to stop me.
Yes, now the Tsar's inspector inspects the bottom of the sea. Whoever it is, I'll flay his skin off. I told them not to disturb me here tonight. Come in. Come in.
Commandant Renikov.
Who? Who are you?
My credentials, Commandant.
Credentials?
I am Michael Bashev. Ordered to report to you by His Majesty the Tsar of all the Russias.
You're...
Michael Bashev.
But the boat. The boat you drowned.
No, not quite, Commandant. Some natives a few miles away found me where I crawled up on the beach. I assure you, I almost enjoyed that swim.
Welcome, Michael Barcher. Welcome to Sahalin.
Thank you, Commandant. I assure you, I will make my inspection complete, fair, and a short one.
I will do my best to help you.
You are so strong, Michael Barshev.
Am I?
Oh, your muscles, they crawl under the skin of your arms.
Let's go in.
Oh, no, no. Stay out here a little longer with me. Oh, don't you like little Marina at all, Michael Barshev?
I have work to do.
Work?
His Majesty sent me here for a very definite purpose.
So?
I must obtain accurate information of the income of gold mines and other activities of the prisoners on this island.
Such accurate information is valuable to you, Michael?
The Tsar's orders.
And if you could get accurate information quickly, it would be worth a great deal to you?
I cannot leave until I do.
If I told you the truth about what's going on here, would you take me with you back to St. Petersburg, Michael Barshev?
What?
Would you take me back to St. Petersburg, Michael? I want to go with you, Michael. I want to leave this place. I want to go with you wherever you go. Oh, you are strong, Michael. I love strength. I love you. These few days I've known you, I have learned that
Marina. Marina Petrovna.
We are here, Commandant, in the shadows.
Ah, you here too, Michael Barshev. I did not see you.
Yes, we were resting. Marina here has been showing me around the barracks.
Oh.
I was entertaining our guests as you wanted, Trenikov. Where are you standing there long, my dear?
You mean around the corner?
Yes. Yes, I was just wondering. I have been praising you so much to Michael that I was just wondering if you heard all I said.
Unfortunately, no. You will come inside, Marina.
Inside? Why?
The post has come. There's a letter for you from St. Petersburg.
Oh, I have been expecting it.
Yes, I know. You will excuse us, please, Michael Barshev.
Yes, of course.
After you, Marina.
Yes.
So?
The letter, Renikov. Where is it?
Letter? What letter?
No. Do not tease me. You said there was a letter for me from St. Petersburg.
Did I?
I have done nothing.
Come here to me.
What?
Here to me.
Renikov.
You always said my arms were strong.
It's not now.
I will hold you close now. Close, like this, while I tell
Renikov.
You. That you are the devil's own daughter.
Renikov.
Betray me to him. You thought I did not hear. I did. Every word of your treachery. If I give you the information, you will take me to St. Petersburg, my Michael Barshev. My strong Michael Barshev. You wretched woman. I could kill you.
My hands,
my strong hands. You said they were strong. You daughter of evil, you betray me, will you? I'll choke you within an inch of your life. Within an inch, I tell you.
I'll take all but your last breath.
I'll keep you. Betray me. You'll never dare speak another word. You'll never speak. Marina. Dead? And now it is your turn, Michael Barshev. In here. Come here, you. Stand there. You are Bruger, the crazy.
Bruger.
Your sentence?
I don't know. My head. I cannot remember.
Then let me remind you. Your sentence was for life. You know why you are here?
The Tsar. He is to blame for my misfortune.
Yes. So I understand. The Tsar himself.
The Tsar. Yes. Yes, he is to blame. The police official in my village. My daughter. He wanted... You listen to me, Your Excellency?
Yes, I listen.
2 days later, the Cossacks came. In the name of the Tsar, they said. The Tsar. He was to blame, Your Excellency.
Yes, the Tsar and you.
And the court, the judge, to Sakhalin by the order of the Tsar, they said. You hear, Your Excellency, again the Tsar. The Tsar, my persecutor. The Tsar. The Tsar.
So you would like to revenge yourself against the Tsar, old man?
I would give my last drop of blood.
Come closer. You know the stranger that has come here, the man they call Michael Basha.
I know.
He wishes to go on a little hunting trip today. I've heard you are well versed in the haunts of the game around the bay.
Yes, Your Excellency. Yes. Old Brugger knows where the rabbits are, and the foxes, too.
I wish my guest, Michael Bashev, to have a very successful hunting trip. He's a very important man in St. Petersburg. And no one, but he is the nephew of our little father, the Tsar.
The Tsar?
Yes, yes. Michael Bashev, with whom you are to go out alone on a hunt today, is really a nephew of the Tsar. And he is a great favorite of his blessed uncle. You will be all alone with him for the entire day. The nephew of the Tsar. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This revolver, you know how to use a revolver, old man.
Mm-hmm.
I give it to you in violation of all regulations, and you know why. Because I want you to take good care of His Excellency, the nephew of our merciful Tsar. Good care. You understand?
The nephew of the merciful Tsar.
Well, old man, there ought to be rabbits in this field.
No.
Sure it was me. You must like to walk.
No.
Well, I must say the commandant gave me a very talkative guide this morning. No, no, no. That's all I've heard from you since we started out. Well, I don't suppose that the man who has been in prison on this godforsaken place as long as you has much to talk about. Tell me, how many years have you been here?
Years mean nothing.
No, I suppose not. See those birds? Too bad Marina Petrovna couldn't come with us this morning. Strange she should get ill so suddenly. Do you know what happened to her, Bruga? Yeah, then I suppose you don't. I say, old man, how much farther do we have to go? We're miles from the camp.
We have come far enough.
Huh?
The great Tsar. The merciful, righteous Tsar will miss his favorite nephew, no?
What are you talking about, Bruga? What about the Tsar?
Your uncle. Your merciful uncle. You are his favorite. Are you not Michael Basha?
My uncle? Sure, Babiri, what are you talking about? I have no uncle.
You are not his nephew?
Whose nephew?
The Tsar's.
Are you mad? Would I be here in this godforsaken place if I were a Romanov? Why, if I had my way, the Tsar and all his filthy bloodsuckers. I must be going crazy, too, talking this way.
You do not know the Tsar?
I am a government official. What do I know about the Tsar? Why don't you ask your own Commandant Renikov if you want news of the Tsar? He'll know all about his cousin.
Renikov, cousin to the Tsar.
I thought everyone in all Russia knew that. Why do you think he's commandant here after the scandal he was in back at St. Petersburg? Why, if not for his relationship, our dear Renikov would have been swinging from the highest gallows. It was only because he was a cousin to the Tsar that... Old man, Bruga, where are you going? Why are you going back? Come back here. Come back. Well, this is an island of madmen. That look on his face when I said that...
Come in. Come in. Well, Bruegger, come in, come in. What is this? I guess Michael Bashir not with you. Oh, what a pity. Do not tell me you had an accident. Ah, well, so it goes in this life of ours. Well, what are you standing there like that for, you fool? What happened? Did you do as I said? Is he dead? What happened?
Nothing happened.
What? What's that you said? Nothing happened? Speak, you fool. What do you mean, nothing happened?
Nothing happened.
My whip! Where is my whip? I'll tear the man's eyes out.
Nothing happened, little cousin of the child.
Wait till I put my hands on my whip.
Stand where you are.
Cut! Put down my gun.
You thought you were clever. You thought I would not find out, eh, Commandant?
You mad fool. Put down that gun.
But I did find out. I did.
Give me that gun, Bruegger.
If only you were he.
Now, now, come, come, old man. You don't want to harm me on your friend.
The word will reach him, and he will weep tears he must I have.
Now, now, come, hand me the gun. I will pardon you, old man. Yes, you go home, a free man.
I have no home. He took that for me.
No, no, no. No, I will tell don't look at me him. Like that. Be careful. The trigger.
You die.
No, no, no. Help me, God.
Die, little cousin of the child.
Help
die.
Me.
Die.
Help. Help me. Somebody help me. This madman will kill me. He'll kill me.
Renikov.
Who called my name?
Renikov.
Help me. Whoever you are. Help me. Call the guard.
Renikov.
Marina. Marina Petrovna. But I have killed you. Days ago, with my own hands, I killed you.
Yes?
Then how can you be here?
Because now, Renikov, you too are dead.
Well, Mr. Obler? You certainly proved your thesis that cruelty didn't start with fascism.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. You know, sometimes cruelty is more to be pitied than censored, because sometimes a man's cruelty, according to medical authority, is based on a sickness, a glandular condition. A person who wishes to inflict pain or have pain inflicted upon him is performing that way because the solutions in the bloodstream aren't just right. Take, for example, no, not you, Frank. The man I'm going to tell you about will have to wait until you've had your say.
If you envy people who are stronger and peppier than you are, and if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is what's keeping you weak, run down, and jittery, then try ironized yeast tablets. Now, a rundown condition may stem from other causes. If in doubt, see your doctor. But if you're deficient in vitamin B1 and iron, and more of those substances is all you need to help you get back into the pink, remember, ironized yeast tablets give you both. Yet they cost but a few pennies a day, and what's more, you don't risk even those few pennies. For if you don't begin to eat better, to look and feel much stronger, peppier, and more alive, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by ironized yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. Now, what about this gentleman with the wrong kind of bloodstream, Mr. Obler?
Well, he lived in the time of George III, but our story next week is not going to be about the English monarch. It's going to be about a very insignificant member of the royal entourage, Samuel Bayliss by name, who was born with the sort of glands that, well, resulted in his becoming none other than state executioner, the royal hangman. But that, as usual, is next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's eerie story, State Executioner. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast. But remember, there's only one ironized yeast. You'll know it instantly by the yellow and orange package and by the big letters IY on the container and on each tablet.
It is greater than you think.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, there you have it. Lights Out from August 10th, 1943. Sakhalin. That was hosted by Arch Obler, sponsored by Ironized Yeast Tablets. Also, Energene Shoe White. And Frank Martin doing the announcing on there for CBS. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, I'm going to look here. What are we playing next week when I'm not here?
Next week.
I mean,
is my mic on?
You're going to be here.
I'll be here.
Dave
so I,
here,
on Saturday night, will
but
be playing.
I won't be here.
So I will be playing Suspense, Fibber McGee and Molly, and The Man from Homicide on Saturday night. On Sunday night, we have the Lux Radio Theater. It's a 1 hour show, and we have Gunsmoke.
And you know what Lux Theater we're playing? We're going to play African Queen with Humphrey Bogart and Greer Garson.
Wow.
You won't want to miss that. And then Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did we schedule all this great stuff when I'm not going to be here?
That's the thing.
I'll tell you what, man. It's a conspiracy.
That. Yeah, we're working on it.
It is a conspiracy. Yep. I'm telling you.
Dave and I are.
You guys are trying to get me fired.
No, we're not. No,
you want to do such a good job. I come back
we
and they're like,
do a good job.
Stephanie and Todd are going to be like, we have a show for you to do. It's not on the radio anymore.
Yeah.
But here's a realistic tape recorder. Go home and
have fun with it.
Here's a little microphone.
No, we will miss you, but we will do a great job.
Don't
that
do too
I
great
guarantee.
Of a job. I
don't we'll do just a fine job.
All right. Do like a good job. Good
well,
is
I'll do a great job.
Like a B minus.
B minus?
Yeah, B minus is
I
plenty.
I think you would be disappointed
I'm fine with a C plus or B minus.
You would text me and say that was B minus. Work harder.
Mm-mm.
Yes, you would.
Not with me gone, I wouldn't. All right. So when we come back after the news, it's Big Town, starring Edward Pauly and Fran Carlin, a good newspaper drama. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 1:01 in the morning, time for the news with Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Esmeralda. Thank you, Roger. This is hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. Thanks for staying up late with us. And in this hour, we're going to tune in to Big Town, a good newspaper drama from 1949. We're also going to play our game, Cat's Pride, Crack the Quote. What's the movie, Lisa?
The movie is Apocalypse Now.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Marlon Brando.
1979, I think.
Wow, wasn't even born yet.
No, but you were close.
Yeah, I was a twinkle in my daddy's eye.
Yeah. And what about your mommy?
Yeah, her too.
Okay.
All right, so that's the movie?
Yep, Apocalypse
What do
now.
They win?
They're going to win Twilight Zone CDs.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Call right now. Play the game with us, be caller 4. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
So we have Bruce on the line. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, great to hear from you.
Thanks.
Good. So the movie is Apocalypse Now. I've got three quotes, and all you have to do is tell me which one of these is actually from the movie.
Okay.
And we'll see if Carl can help you out or, what he thinks.
I stink.
He'll probably be wrong. Okay, number one, a soldier always lives for the next battle. Number two, I've been a soldier since I was 19. Number three, to be heroic is to be courageous enough to die.
It's one or three. I'll pick three.
Three. Mm. Okay.
I'm going to pick three also.
To be heroic is to be courageous enough to die. All right, Curtis.
I've been a soldier since I was 19.
Oh, boy.
That was number two. So I had to have a laugh when you said it was one or three. I knew you weren't quite on the right track. But it doesn't. It's so
that
close,
was a
though.
Cool. It should have picked the one I didn't pick.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's okay.
See,
you're
Bruce,
still a winner.
This is tough, right? I mean, these are tough to get.
Well, since I've never seen the movie, I was kind of at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes one of them just speaks to you for some reason. Yeah. I haven't seen some of these movies either, so.
No, some of the ones I've never seen, I've gotten right.
Right. See, it just has to feel right. If that's okay, you're still a winner. One, two, that's three. Right. It's all good. You've won a Twilight Zone CD set. So that will be coming your way soon. Absolutely.
You're welcome. And thanks for listening to the show, Bruce. We appreciate you very much. All right. He's a big winner. Won some Twilight Zone CDs. Lisa, you are good at this game,
oh,
man.
Oh, I'm just good. Right, Carl?
Gosh.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this game. I hope that our listeners are enjoying it as well.
Somebody texted in and said that I don't let you get a word in edgewise, or what was it?
Yeah, they did say that.
And they said I don't let you finish a sentence?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Hang on a second. What? Say that again. What?
Nope.
Just turned her microphone off. I wouldn't want anyone to think I don't let her finish a sentence. So this is the Carl Amari show now. Hey, Lisa, how you doing over there?
I got you, Carl.
Wait a minute. Turn it back off.
No,
again.
I put it on.
Hang on. It turned it right off.
Carl, I got one more thing to say. Somebody texted in, and he or she said, at 12:38, what did Carl say about talking with Jennifer Aniston?
Oh.
What were you saying?
Well, Curtis talked about the fact that when he was in school at Columbia, they used to say, have a picture in front of you that you're talking to that person.
That you could smile at.
You know, it could be sort of an imaginary picture. My imaginary picture is Jennifer Aniston.
Get out of here. Out of all the women in the entire world,
sometimes
you
it's
want
Jennifer
Aniston.
Sometimes it's Jennifer Aniston, and other times it's Penelope Cruz.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Jennifer Aniston is a free woman now, so you've got a shot at it.
Carl, I would be in agreement with you on Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Even though she's up there in age, she's still very, very
What do you mean
beautiful.
Up there in age? She's not up there in age.
Well, for Curtis,
I mean, from my perspective.
Right.
You know, I guess so. Yeah.
For
she's
you,
right
she's
in your wheelhouse.
She's young for Carl. Way younger.
I think she's probably late
she's
40s,
in her
right?
40s.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I think she's late 40s. Which is perfect for me. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. You know, she has problems keeping a guy, though. What do you think the deal is there,
Lisa?
I don't want to make any judgment on that. I'm not trying to judge her in any way, because I would actually give her a shot.
Would you?
Yeah, I would give her her a chance.
So forget the picture. Just have her standing right here.
Listen, if she and I started dating, I could pretty much assure you she'd never have to worry about losing a guy again. Assure you of that.
I don't know,
because
Carl.
I would cling on to her like with vigor.
Here's the thing: women
with
don't
duct
like
tape.
Like Velcro.
I would duct tape the two of us together, and she'd never be able to get rid of me.
Then it becomes a three-legged race.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Go ahead,
okay,
Lisa.
Women don't like guys that cling on.
No,
to them.
You know me. I'm not clingy.
Well, you sounded clingy right
well,
there.
Well, I'm just kidding around.
Any guy that's clingy is not really attractive anymore.
I'm not clingy.
Okay,
I'll tell you one thing, though. She's a cutie. She's a cutie patootie.
She's very talented.
And
she's not my, like, A number one.
I mean, here's the thing. Penelope Cruz, I think she's married, so.
What about Jessica Alba? Don't you like her?
Oh, she's gorgeous.
That's what I'm saying.
But she's married. I got to find a single girl.
Then, okay, let's go
Jennifer. Single.
Good.
Now, right? Was she married to that guy?
Justin?
Yes. They were married,
for
like 2 years.
And what? It's over? The marriage is over?
Yeah,
they're separated?
Divorced, yeah.
Divorced?
That'll work for me. Separated's good enough.
Either way.
Separated's
that'll
good.
That'll work.
They're officially separated. I mean, they're in all the newspapers that they're separated.
I guess they're good friends still, though.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. I could be his friend.
She'll forget about
it. I'll be his friend.
Time.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, I bet.
All right. Well, you ready for some classic radio?
Yes.
All
Big
right.
Town.
We are going to listen to Big Town. This was a newspaper drama. Edward G. Robinson originally starred in this show. He was the crusading newspaper editor Steve Wilson. He starred in that role from 1937 all the way to 1942, but then he got really busy with the movies. Claire Trevor was his co-star. She played socialite editor Lorelei Kilbourne for 1 year. Big Town, at its peak, Lisa, was the highest-rated drama on radio. Do you believe that?
I don't.
Number one. And then Edward Pauly took over, and it also made a TV version from 1950 to 1956. But we have a radio episode for you now from January 11th, 1949. It's called The Nightmare House. This stars Edward Pauly and Fran Carlin, part one now of Big Town.
LifeWire Health Soap presents Big Town.
Extra, extra, hero,
about Nightmare House. Tonight's Big Town Racket expose brought to you by Light Boy Health Soap, used in the homes of 40 million Americans. Extra, extra.
Life Boy Health Soap presents Big Town, the headline stories of a great city dramatically reported by Steve Wilson, fighting editor whose creed is emblazoned on the masthead of the Illustrated Press.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword. That it may be a faithful servant of all the people, use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now, Steve Wilson's headline story of Nightmare House. This is not a story of an ancient mansion peopled by ghosts of the past. This is the story of Bill Barton, his wife Helen, and their new house in the suburbs of Big Town.
Oops. Doggone it.
Oh, Bill.
Huh?
Oh, never mind, darling. You needn't have washed the dishes. I'm not that helpless.
Oh, maybe not, honey, but you've got a lot of things to do.
Yes, but I have all evening, and you'll be late for work if you don't hurry.
Oh, I'm almost done with what's left of these dishes. I would be, except the darn water's almost cold.
Oh, it's the heater, Bill. It's no good.
Yeah, like the whole plumbing system, the foundation, roof, and floors. We've been had, Helen.
Yes, and so has everyone else on Honeymoon Hill.
Honeymoon Hill. What a name. Nightmare Hill would be better.
Oh, but it could be a lovely house, Bill. We could only make Kane live up to his contract.
That chance of that.
Have you talked to him?
Yes, till I'm blue in the face. And so have the other owners. All we get is excuses, promises. And we're all through talking.
What are you going to do?
We're getting together. We're going to refuse to make any more payments until Kane finishes these houses according to contract. Copper pipe, waterproof cellars, put in standard appliances.
And supply doors.
Helen, do you realize that except for the storage room in the cellar, there isn't one inside door to any room in this or any other house on Honeymoon Hill?
Please, Bill, don't work yourself up so. I know it's bad, but at least we have a roof over our heads.
Yeah, that leaks. Honeymoon Hill. Well, Kane is going to find out the honeymoon is over.
Someone's at the back door, Bill.
You stay put on that stool. I'll see who it is.
All right. But you worry too much. The baby isn't due for a month, and I feel fine.
You stay there and keep on feeling fine.
Hello, Button.
Oh, good evening.
I'm Parker, Kane's new agent.
Parker?
Yeah. Mind if I come in? Want to talk to you. Evening, Mrs. Button.
Good evening.
New agent for Kane, huh? Well, I hope you'll do more about our complaints than the last one.
That's what I'm here to talk to you about.
We're all through talking to Kane.
So I hear. I understand you've got the folks up here on the hill together.
That's right.
And you're talking about not meeting your next payments on these houses.
If you want to call them houses. And it's more than just talk.
Now, look, Barton, this is serious business.
You're telling me.
You can lose this place and every cent you've sunk into it.
Not if we stick together and fight for our rights.
That's the point. Most of the folks up here won't stick with you. Just a few soreheads.
That's what you think.
Look, Barton, you're the leader of this movement. You started this, you can stop it.
I'll stop it when Kane lives up to his contract with us.
Now, look, suppose we take care of you.
Me? How?
Fix up your place.
Look, Parker, are you trying to buy me off?
No, we'll just take care of your place first.
Oh, and the rest of the folks around here can wait until the cows come home, is that it?
What do you care as long as you get what you want?
Get out of here. You're a dirtier rat than the last one Kane sent up here. Now get out before I throw you out.
Bill, don't lose your head.
Keep out of this, Helen. I'll settle with this rat.
Get smart, Barton. Listen to your wife or you'll lose your house.
I'll risk that before I'll sell out my neighbors. Now get out of here.
They'll sell you out.
I said get out of here.
You'll be foreclosed in a month, you dope.
Dope, am I? Get out.
Hey.
Tell Kane before we're through. We'll put him in jail.
Yeah. Oh, Bill, you shouldn't have done that. They can make trouble.
Trouble? We've had nothing but trouble since we moved in. Now I'm going to make some trouble for Kane. We can't fight this thing alone.
But what can you do, Bill?
I'm telling the whole rotten story to a newspaper that fights our kind of fight. The Big Town Illustrated Press.
Steve, could you spare a minute?
Sure thing, Lorelei. Come in.
Come on in, Mr. Barton.
Thanks, Miss Kilman.
Steve, this is Bill Barton, and he has something on a rotten racket that I think you should hear about.
Hello, Bill.
Sit down. Let's have it.
Well, I haven't much time, Mr. Wilson. I work nights and I'm late for my job, but a bunch of my neighbors need your kind of help.
It's one of the infinite variations of the housing racket, Steve.
Oh, the housing racket. That, again.
Oh, I know it's an old story, Mr. Wilson. I know it isn't news, headline stuff.
It may not be headline stuff, Bill, but it is news, and important news, as long as the housing shortage exists.
I'm not the only one involved in this. There are about 20 families on Honeymoon Hill, and we've all been taken.
Honeymoon Hill?
It's a development owned by a man named Kane, Steve.
What's the main trouble, Bill?
Well, Kane let us move in before the houses were finished and hasn't lived up to his contracts.
Now, that's an old dodge. Are you a veteran?
No, sir, but ambulance corps driver overseas. Kane financed the whole deal and made sure he didn't sell to vets.
Another dodge to avoid the protection given ex-servicemen by the Veterans Administration. What's the immediate trouble, Bill?
Well, we've got together, threatened to withhold our next payments until Kane lives up to his contract.
Now, wait a minute. Are you acting on advice of a lawyer?
No, but we're going to hire one.
Good. You've got to fight this thing by legal means, Bill.
Well, we intend to, but Kane isn't playing it that way.
Are you the head of the group?
Sort of.
Has Kane threatened you?
Yes, with eviction. But first, Parker, his new agent, tried to bribe me.
Bribe you?
Yeah. Offered to fix up my place if I'd keep my mouth shut.
And sell out your neighbors.
Yeah, I kicked him out of the house. My wife is... Well, we're expecting a baby, and it upset her. I had to leave her alone. I'm worried.
Naturally, Bill.
Will you print the story? Will you give us a little publicity? Maybe it'll scare Kane into living up to his contracts.
Of course we will, Bill, but Kane's type of operator doesn't care what's said about them once they have their hooks in a victim.
Yes, it's going to be trouble. That agent of Kane's is a rat. I wish Helen wasn't out there alone.
Don't worry. She isn't going to be alone, Bill.
But I work nights. I can't lay off and stay with her. We need the money to make our payments if we lose this fight with Kane.
You're not going to lose this fight or your home, Bill. Where do you work?
At the Big Town Electric Plant on the west side, and I'm late now.
All right, come along. You can give us the rest of the facts we need on the way to your job. Let's go, Lorelei.
I'm ready, Steve.
What are you going to do, Mr. Wilson?
We're going to have a heart-to-heart talk with your predatory, Mr. Kane.
Hey, look, Kane.
What's the matter, Parker?
You got trouble. Plenty of trouble.
Sure. That's why I hired you, Parker. You said you was good at handling trouble, so handle it.
I'll handle it. But I gotta know a few things first.
Such as what?
Are you covered if anything should just happen to happen to one of those cracker boxes up on the hill?
You mean insured?
Yeah.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Parker.
Never mind. You hired me to handle those suckers? Keep them in line, collect the installments?
Yeah, but listen...
Don't butt me around, Kane. I don't like being crossed. Now, there's only one guy gonna give us any real trouble.
Who do you mean? Bill Barton?
That's right. He's lining up the others. The rest are sheep. But they'll follow him if we don't get rid of him.
Okay. Foreclose on Barton if he don't pay up tomorrow.
Ah, that'll take time. We gotta get him out of there before he organizes that bunch and they get a lawyer.
Oh, yeah. That'll cost me $2,000 a unit to live up to those contracts.
Yeah. $40,000.
That'd break me.
That's why you hired me. But this is gonna cost you a bonus. A big bonus.
How much?
$5,000.
$5,000?
Yeah, $5,000 if I get rid of Barton and bust up the organized squawk.
Now, wait a minute. I ain't risking any rough stuff.
There ain't gonna be any rough stuff. Nobody's gonna get hurt. Except one of them so-called houses. And the way I'm gonna handle it will cover up a lot of your crooked building shenanigans.
What are you gonna do?
I ain't sure you ought to know.
You're my agent. I'm responsible for your acts.
Yeah. I wanted to be sure you knew that. Well, keep your mouth shut when it happens.
What's going to happen?
There's going to be a fire up on the hill.
A fire?
Yeah. Starting in Bill Barton's basement. Accident.
Wait a minute. Barton's wife ain't well. She might get trapped in that house.
Relax. I'll make sure she gets out of that cracker box. Maybe I'll even rescue her myself and earn Barton's gratitude.
You better make sure of that, Parker.
Don't worry, Kane. I don't mind a little arson, but I ain't mixing myself in a murder for $5,000 if I can help it.
All right. When are you going to pull it?
There's no time like the present, Kane. I'm going to pull it tonight.
The
Thus, unaware that dangerous complications are in the making, Steve and Lorelei head for the suburbs to help Bill Barton.
All right, they're going to help Bill Barton, Lisa.
I heard that, Carl.
That's the first portion of Big Town. More coming your way after these words. All right, you know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
We are going to go to 1:30 News in a second here. We're going to come back, listen to the remainder of Big Town, and then I'm off for 2 weeks.
Well, you're only missing 1 week of radio.
Well, I know. I won't be here next weekend.
But we're going to be A-OK, I promise.
I'm going to have, this is my first time off in three years. I've not missed a show.
I know, but we are going to take care of everything. You don't
I'm
have
gonna
to worry.
I'm going to be on pins and needles.
You don't
like
have to worry.
My baby.
I know. I've got your baby covered. I'll be good to your
Maybe
baby.
Maybe I'll just cancel my
it's
business.
It's my baby.
Maybe I'll cancel the business trip.
No, that's fine. You go.
I'm going to cancel.
You go. I'm looking forward to this
weekend.
I'm
going to make sure Dave knows which button here turns your microphone off.
Oh, well, I know how to turn it right back on. Don't you worry.
All right. All right. Let's take a break for our 1:30 News. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Oh, man, I got this piano playing thing down pat here.
Yeah, you mentioned that before.
Pretty good, huh, Curtis? You like that?
Yeah, you were right on it.
Right on the money. I barely ever miss a key right there. Right, Lisa?
Right, Carl.
I like your WGN sweatshirt there.
Thank
WGN
you.
Radio Theater sweatshirt.
Yeah, it's nice.
Pretty stylish.
Right? I'm fancy.
What are you, size? I'm going to guess that's a small? Or is it a medium?
This is Dan's.
Oh, that's Dan's. So that's a large.
It's a medium.
No, Dan's. That's a large.
No, it's a medium.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure because I picked it out.
Then I guess if you're 100% sure.
Yep.
In fact, when we go to Big Town here, I'm going to look. I want to make sure that you're right, but you're probably right.
It's a medium.
You're always right.
I know.
With Autolite. Because right. You're the Autolite
girl. I'm the
girl.
Autolite girl.
Let's get back now to Big Town.
Now, back to Big Town and tonight's story of Nightmare House. Learning that a group of new homeowners are having trouble with the owner, Steve and Lorelei are driving to the suburbs in the cab of Harry the Loquacious Hacky.
Say, boss, Miss Kelpine.
Say it, Harry, but we hope we won't need the assistance of your trusty monkey wrench on this assignment.
Yeah, that is what you always hope, but you cannot always sometimes tell. So the offer stands as per usual.
Thanks, Harry. But hold the double negatives of doubt until we see if we can't get some positive results with a few well-chosen words of warning.
You better have those words ready, Steve. We just passed a sign saying Honeymoon Hill Development, 1 mile.
You want me to drive right up to this here now, Honeymoon Hill, boss?
Oh, Harry. Bill Barton said Kane's office is at the entrance on the highway. Stop there if you see a light.
Oh, so you're going to beard the lion in his den, huh, Steve?
Let's call it meeting the jackal in his lair, Lorelei.
Come to it, boss. That sign you said your dream house is waiting on Honeymoon Hill, turn right 500 feet. And this is it.
There's the office, Steve.
There is a light on. I'll get out here, Harry.
Check, boss.
You want me to go stay with Helen Barton until you come up, Steve?
Yes, Lorelei, but first see if you can get a few of their neighbors to meet at Barton's house. In half an hour.
Okay, I'll do my best. What's your plan, Steve?
To get Kane up there for a showdown. And there'll be strength in numbers. Mm. Okay, get going, Harry.
Check.
We'll meet you at Bill Barton's house, Steve.
Well, let's see what Mr. Kane has to say for himself. Someone is burning the midnight oil. Why?
Yes, yes. Who is it? Come in.
Thank you. Are you Mr. Kane?
Yeah, I am. What can I do for you?
Nothing for me, Mr. Kane. But perhaps a great deal for yourself and the people who bought your houses up on Honeymoon Hill.
What do you mean? Who are you? What are you selling?
Selling? Just ideas, Mr. Kane.
Oh, an architect, huh? Well, I'm sorry, I make my own plans. Have ideas of my own.
Yes, so I hear.
What have you heard? Who are you?
I'm Steve Wilson of the Big Town Illustrated Press.
Oh, from the press. I'm sorry, I'm not buying any ads right now. All my houses are sold, and course, when I start another development...
Quit ducking the obvious, Kane. We don't come miles out of Big Town to solicit ads in the middle of the night.
Well, who are you, and what do you want out here, then?
I'm Steve Wilson, managing editor of the press.
Editor?
Yes. And I want your side of the story that you failed to live up to your contracts with the purchasers of your houses on Honeymoon Hill.
Who told you that?
That isn't important. I want to know if it's true before I publish the story. And I'm arranging a meeting at the home of the owners.
A meeting?
Yes, where you'll have a chance to answer the charges, if you can.
Well, where is this meeting going to be?
At the home of Bill Barton in about 20 minutes.
At Barton's? 20 minutes, huh?
Yes. So what's the matter with you? Why should that be important?
Well, nothing. I just remembered. I've got an appointment. I can't go with you.
Wait a minute, Kane. The appointment you just remembered can't be as important as this one.
Let go of me, Wilson. I've got to meet somebody.
Not so fast, Kane. That somebody wouldn't be Parker, your new agent, would it?
That's none of your business.
I'm making it my business. Parker threatened Bill Barton this evening. Where is he?
I don't know. Let go of me.
Where is he, Kane? I want him at that meeting. He's your agent, and you're responsible for his acts.
I'm not. I don't know what he's going to do to the Barton house.
Do to the Barton house? What are you talking about? What's going to happen?
What do you know? Talk! I don't know. Go.
Drop that pink stand, Kane.
Be alone. That'll hold you, Wilson. Now I gotta find Parker. I gotta stop him from setting that fire, or he'll send us both to jail.
Treetop. Be silly, it's too soon for that. Besides, there won't be any treetops. Mr. Kane didn't plant the maples and thought... That noise was in the cellar. I guess the lid must have fallen off the ash can. Maybe Mrs. Thompson's cat's gotten in the cellar again. Better go see. Let the poor thing out. I hope this light switch works. Nothing else does. Oh, it does. Better be careful of these deep stairs. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Here, kitty. Are you down here in the cellar, kitty? Oh, so you're in the coal bin. Come out of there, kitty. Come on out, or I'll...
Come here.
Mr. Parker, what are you doing here?
Shut up, you little fool.
Oh, the coal.
Shut up, you... Ow, try to bite me, will you?
What are you doing here? Why have you crumpled all those newspapers?
Never mind.
Fire. Fire. You're going to start a fire.
Yes.
Oh, help. Help. Help.
Help. She's passed out. Fainted. Now I got to go through with it. I can't let her talk. Got to keep her here. Yeah, this storage room will do it. Good thing Kane put a door on it. I'll leave her in there. Nobody will know she wasn't caught upstairs when this dump goes up in smoke.
Promise, Kelpine, I make 6 homeowners we found awake, and they'll be down at the Barton place in a few minutes. Should we try for some more?
No, Harry, I think that'll be enough to suit Steve's plan, and we better go tell Mrs. Barton she's going to be host to a community protest meeting.
Yeah, she'll be kind of surprised. Which place is it?
It's the last house on this street. You better slow down, Harry.
Yeah, some street. Bet you'll go down to the axles in mud if it rains.
Yes, another of Kane's unhonored commitments. Oh, that must be the house, the white one. Pull in the drive, Harry.
Yeah. Right by the kitchen door, Miss Kilbride. And she must be home and up. There's lights burning all over the house.
I don't blame her. All alone up here in the hill, 100 yards to the nearest neighbor. I'll knock on the kitchen door.
The shades are up, but I don't see nobody.
I'll try again. Maybe she's in the bedroom on the other side of the house.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, Miss Kilbride. Look at that little window down there next to the ground.
Good heavens. There's a light in the cellar, too.
Maybe she's down there fixing the furnace.
Oh, golly, Harry, she's not well. She may have gone down there and fainted. Look, I'm going to try to get in. This door is locked.
Well, maybe there's an outside door to the cellar, Miss Kilbane.
It should be on this side.
Yeah, and folks hardly ever remember to keep them locked. Maybe we can get in that way.
There it is, Harry, down those steps.
Well, leave me go first, Miss Cup. Why not try the door?
Okay. Is it locked, Harry?
No, it's just stuck, I think.
Well, try it, Harry. Try to force it. I'm worried.
Yeah, something screwy.
Hey, the lights are out down here.
No, we were on a minute ago when we came down the steps. Harry, look out! Harry!
Come here, you nosy dame.
Harry!
Come on, come on. Now, get in there with that button woman. Now, I really got to get out of this thing done. I got to get out of here.
Parker! Parker, wait! Wait!
O'Kane!
No, don't! Don't stop! Don't set a fire!
Too late. Get out of here, Kane. That fool Barton woman caught me down here.
That doesn't matter. Stop it. Everything's gone wrong.
I'll say it has. Another dame and a hack driver showed up. I had to hit the guy with his shovel. He's laying over there. I think I busted his skull.
That doesn't matter. You can't set the fire now.
Why not?
A newspaper guy by the name of Wilson came to my office. He's called a meeting. The owners are all coming here in a few minutes.
So what?
I hit him with an inkstand. I knocked him out so I could get here and warn you.
Too late. I got a prison record. We got to cover this thing and a fire will do it.
No, no. We'll both get sent up for arson.
Arson? I've been tagged for arson before, and I'm talking about murder.
Murder?
Yes, murder. That hacky over there on the floor. I'll burn for it if the Barton dame and the other woman talk.
Where are they? What have you done to them?
Nothing but lock them in that storage closet over there. But they ain't gonna talk me into the chair.
What have you got in that bucket, Parker?
Gasoline.
Gasoline?
Yeah, I'll make a torch out of this dump and nothing flat. Get out of here unless you want to stay here from now on.
No, no. You're not mixing me up in more murder to save your own hide.
Put down that coal shovel, Kane.
You put down that bucket of gasoline.
All right. Now, you put down that shovel. Drop it.
A gun. What are you doing carrying a gun?
I got the habit from working for dirty crooks like you. Drop that shovel or I'll drop you.
No, no, no. Listen, Parker, listen.
You fool. You fool. We gotta pull it off. Now you're gonna stay here with those dames and take the rap for this fire. Paper and gas. This'll do it. It'll give me the time to get away from
here. No, it won't. Parker. Who are you? I'm a newspaper guy, your partner in crime, knocked out with an inkstand, but fortunately he only stunned me.
Well, keep away from me or I'll do more and stun you with the rest of the slugs in this gun.
All right. I'll keep away from you. If you'll keep away from that bucket of gasoline.
Sure, I'll keep away from it, you nosy newsy. That's easy, because you're gonna pick up that bucket of gas and throw it on that pile of newspapers.
You murderous swine.
Shut up. Pick up that bucket of gasoline. Pitch it up!
Thus, Steve Wilson is faced with a deadly dilemma.
Pick up that bucket of gasoline, Wilson. I told you, pick it up.
Wait a minute, Parker. Think it over before you go through with setting fire to this house.
What have I got to think over?
You haven't killed Harry, my hack driver.
How do you know?
I just saw him move. I'm grown.
So what? I had to nail Kane with this gun. I'm primed for the chair, no matter what I do from now on.
You might get away with life. Even a self-defense plea, because Kane tried to hit you with that coal shovel.
I'm not going back to the pen for life. I'm getting clean away. Pick up that bucket of gas.
All right, Parker. But won't it give you nightmares for the rest of your life to know that you burned two girls to death locked in that closet over there? Help us. And a third person is yet unborn.
Shut up. They got themselves to blame. Shut up. Throw the gas on that pile of newspapers.
All right, I guess there's no use arguing with a madman.
Shut up and throw that gas.
Very well. Here it comes.
On you! Why, you dirty... Stop firing that gun, you fool. You're drenched with gasoline. Don't fire that gun again. The powder flash will turn you into a torch. Drop the gun. Drop it, or I'll have to break your arm. Drop it.
Good. And now just to make you wait for the
police.
All right, you swine. Stay there.
Steve!
Just a minute, Lorelei. I'll get this door unbolted. Get you out of there.
Oh, Steve. Steve, we could hear it all. Wow, I thought we were really done
for. So did I, until Parker made me pick up that bucket of gas. How's Mrs. Barton?
She fainted when Parker shoved her in here, but I think she's all right. Help me to get her up.
Poor girl. What a time to have something like this happen to her.
Oh, Bill. Oh, Bill.
Oh, she's coming out of it, Steve.
Yeah, she'll be all right in a few minutes.
Oh, Bill. Our baby. Our home. Our baby.
All right, Mrs. Barton. Your home and your baby are safe.
Yes, Mrs. Barton. There won't be any more trouble. We'll take you upstairs in a moment, and you can phone your husband. Everything is settled.
Settled? Settled?
Yes. Parker's gun has arranged that Honeymoon Hill will be under new management. And we'll see that you and your neighbors get to live in a place that is just that. In more than name only.
What?
Harry!
Miss Kilmer!
Oh, thank heavens you're all right, too. How's your head?
Head? You mean this throbbing noggin I got between my ears?
Yes. How are you, Harry?
Swell elegant, boss, I think. Except it looks like I missed an awful lot of excitement.
Yes, Harry. But it's the kind of excitement we can all afford to miss.
And so ended happily for the homeowners of Honeymoon Hill with the death of Cain, the arrest and conviction of Parker, and a new era under new management, another exciting adventure in the newspaper career of Steve Wilson and Lorelei of the Big Town Illustrated Press. Next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you a hard-hitting story of juvenile delinquency leading to gunplay and murder, and headline, A Date with Death. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of fighting Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional, and any similarity to other names and places is purely coincidental. Big Town features Edward Pawley as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilbourne, and was written and produced by Jerry McGill. Next Tuesday night, same time, same station, you'll hear the newsboy calling.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. The story of Steve Wilson and a date with death. Brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, another fine Lever product. Extra, extra.
Be sure to be with us next Tuesday at the same time when Lever Brothers Company will again present Big Town. This is your narrator, Hugh James, bidding you good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, that's Big Town from January 11th, 1949. Nightmare House with Edward Pawley and Fran Carlin. It's a good show. It's heard on NBC, sponsored by Lifebuoy Health Soap. I'm going to get you some of that, Lisa.
Everybody could use a little health soap.
Lifebuoy and Rinso. That was heard on NBC. And that was out of the New York, because all of the actors in that were New York actors, like Mason Adams. Remember Mason Adams? He was the Smuckers guy.
Oh,
and he was also on, he was on television. He was Ed Asner's boss on
Mr. Grant. From
the Lou Grant
Tyler.
Show. Yeah.
Oh, on the Lou
the
Grant,
Lou Grant show?
Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Mason Adams. I am so excited because I was actually right. It is a large that she is wearing there. Her jacket is a large, not a medium.
That's very important.
I'm so excited. I was right for a change.
You know, I'm proud of you. You obviously knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, he's good.
And you know, when I heard the end of this show, and there was the kid saying extra, extra, that would be my part. If I was back in the good old days of radio, I was an actor. I'd be the cast as that guy.
Extra,
extra, extra.
That's because you need a high voice for that.
Yeah,
so that's perfect for you.
That would have been me. That would have been my role. I would have waited the whole show for the whole show to get done.
Right, to get
and
that
then I come on and I'm like, extra, extra, read all about it. Yeah?
That's
what do
good.
You think?
I believe you.
But
I
would say
true.
Extra, extra. I wouldn't say extra.
Well,
I'd say extra, extra, read all about it. Lifebuoy Health Soap.
You could do
what
that
do
now.
Pretty good, right?
It's very good.
I'm going to audition for Roger Badish so I could be in the his productions. I want to play that part.
Well,
of
the SAG-AFTRA players
were here
with
before
Rick Hogan
us.
Earlier
I know.
Tonight.
They were great.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.